The psalmist writes, "He opened the rock and water flowed. So the river ran in dry places." I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. My grandfather used two rather large piñatas as piggy banks, where he would store away extra money for his two grandchildren. Money in each piñata had supposedly been deposited since the day we were born. Think, a penny here, a quarter there sort of scenario. It was not intended to be an inheritance. Rather, it was intended to serve as a fun way to hand out pocket money. One summer, my cousin and I happened to be at my grandfather's house together when he decided it was time for us to see what's inside the piñata. I was 9 years old by then and pretty savvy with money. I knew about the effect of compounding, and if my grandfather was telling the truth, I should have plenty of dough to keep me occupied for a couple of summers. My cousin was 5 years old, and I thought, well, his need for a Cadbury chocolate bar would surely be met over and over and over again. He'd be fine as well. And so the time came to break the bank. Both my 5-year-old cousin and I were pretty competitive, and he suggested that we count how much money we have and then commiserate afterwards. With a smug smile, I agreed. We went out to the corners in the front yard and started to hit the gigantic piggy banks. I can remember the sound of the coins hitting the ground. I was so ecstatic with the $400 that I made that day until I discovered that my cousin had a little bit more. I remember being quite livid. I did the calculations. If money had been systematically deposited since I was born into that piggy bank, given that I had a 4-year advantage over my cousin, I should have around $320 more than him. So rather than being grateful for what I received, my focus was on the fact that I did not receive my just reward. I grumbled, grumbled, and grumbled. What overtook me was a sense of entitlement rather than gratitude. As the oldest, wasn't I entitled to more? Today, Jesus offers a parable about a landowner who hires workers for his vineyard. His offer of employment is extended, and there are a few who agree early on to the work. The terms of the employment were set. There was no coercion. The agreement was mutually agreed upon, and according to many New Testament commentators, the agreement was just. The landowner then leaves the vineyard and heads to the marketplace and finds others standing idly by at 9, 12, 3, and 5 p.m. According to our scripture translation, they were just standing idly by. However, the semantic range of the Greek word suggests that they were standing at the marketplace without work, and perhaps looking for work. And so, the landowner gives them work. What is remarkable is that the landowner finds a place for all of these workers and pays them exactly the same amount. This, of course, causes consternation to those who accepted the call of the landowner quite early. We can read this parable as a story about metrics. We can also read the story about grace. During my prayer and meditation this week, in the midst of this pandemic and the divisiveness we experience in this world, I kept drawing to the fact that there seems to be a consistency of grumbling. The laborers who felt slighted grumbled. In our first lesson, the Hebrews in the wilderness grumble before Moses and God. Turning to the first lesson, we read that people are in the wilderness. There is no indication that they are hungry. We are to presume that the power that effected their escape from slavery remains with them as a pillar of fire and a cloud. And that power meets all their needs. What we can deduce, rather, is that their grumbling is more about the quality and quantity of the food available. As a side note, in the midst of grumbling, it's interesting that we as humans have a tendency to become quite nostalgic about an imagined past where everything is seen through rose-colored glasses. Similarly, their memory of the past is quite fuzzy. They forgot the cruelty of slavery under Pharaoh as they left Egypt, amidst their journey towards full liberation. A feeling of entitlement begins to settle in. When such a feeling of entitlement settles in, rather than constantly expressing gratitude to God for the freedom they receive, they constantly grumble at God. Grumbling is not merely complaining. It is emotionally internalizing a complaint so much that there is a physical reaction. This form of grumbling remains consistent and overcomes how we see and experience the world. In the state of grumble, there is no good in the world, and one is always a victim. As we begin to feel more entitled, we begin to lose sight of gratitude and begin to grumble at any perceived slight. Recently, I read a post that has been circulating on Facebook. You've probably heard the saying, see the glass as either half empty or half full. What this post suggested was more poignant. It said that we should be grateful that we have even received a glass. What if in the midst of grumbling, we begin to examine that perhaps much of our grumbling comes from a sense of entitlement? Perhaps that is what the Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Philippi while in jail, meant when he scripted, live your life in a worthy manner of the gospel, with humility, with gratitude, rejoicing in the Lord. What if we really kept our eye on the prize and focus on gratitude? Yes, there are difficulties, problems, and struggles. There is division, there is strife, and there is uncertainty. Granted, we're in the midst of a pandemic. Granted, we are in the midst of a political and cultural divide that doesn't seem bridgeable. Granted, there are cries of justice that need our attention. However, what if we began to fundamentally reorient ourselves with the basic act of gratitude, thanking God for the air we breathe and the possibilities to make a difference? Perhaps if we begin to live with the attitude of gratitude, we can cease our grumbling long enough to cast our gaze on things heavenly, the power of possibility that God through Christ has given us. For me, life took a turning point following the piñata incident. I began to grumble and internalize resentment against my grandfather. This is something that I regret, for I had not realized it then, but the piñata money bank was meant to be a way for my grandfather to say goodbye to his grandsons. as he would later succumb to terminal cancer a year later. Unfortunately, rather than enjoy the limited time I would have with him, I chose to grumble. Beloved, we can choose to use our God-given time on this earth grumbling, or we can be present and live a life of gratitude where we commit ourselves to work as disciples of Jesus based on the life that God has given us. First, if, like me, there is someone you need to mend fences with, someone you have grumbled about, perhaps you will take the opportunity to see them through the lens of gratitude before it is too late. Second, it's up to us to choose to either grumble at the injustices of this world or with gratitude to God, who has given us gifts and talents, to bless the world and toil in this world for the fruits of the Spirit. As you ask yourself these questions, I leave you with a prayer from that great Anglican divine, George Herbert. Let us pray. Thou hast given so much to me. Give one thing more: a grateful heart, not thankful when it pleaseth thee, as if thy blessings had spare days, but such a heart whose pulse may be thy eternal praise. Amen.